good. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first live stream of Meeple Skills here on the Project Nerd Twitch channel. Thank you for hanging out and sipping coffee and talking about nerdy shit. I, of course, am Ethan, a.k.a. Nerd Meat, with my lovely wife and dog.
I'm Jackie, the Lucky Halfling on Twitch, or Lucky Halfling on Twitter. And yes, this is Aphrodite. We also have a cat named Pookie, and he may be making some appearances on and off.
He will likely make some appearances. He's right over here. Again, thank you for joining us for this live stream. First go-around with this. This isn't something we've either of us have ever really done, or, I mean, like, I stream on Twitch, but it's usually just me playing video games, so it's a little different. I don't know that Project Nerd has done much like this in the past, aside from our conventions.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they mostly use this channel for conventions.
So. Yeah, so this is our home studio. We're very proud of it. And if you're listening to the rebroadcast audio of this later, you're missing out, because this totally looks like a porn studio.
It does not look like a porn studio. This couch is not nearly big enough for porn.
No comment.
Ew.
So yes, we are joined by our adorable little dog who cannot stand to be separated from us. We have taken off her collar just to make sure that she's not too jingly. I am going to interrupt our little stream a little bit just to make sure the sound's coming through.
Okay.
On the stream.
I just have the volume turned way down, like on the computer.
But... I know.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. So, alright, so we are going to talk about our trip to...
Origins Game Fair!
Origins Gay Fair.
Game Fair!
And okay, there's a reason I'm not just being a shithead. Like, it is... We basically call it Origins Gay Fair because... Right outside on Saturday while we were there was one of the biggest pride parades I've ever seen in my life. And it was awesome. So, you know, it was awesome to see that kind of celebrated alongside the board games, although not necessarily intentionally at the same time. But it was really cool to see still. So there were some people who were kind of talking about changing the name to Origins Gay Fair. But yes, Origins Game Fair 2019 in Columbus, Ohio. We made the almost 10-hour drive out there.
Yep.
And it was fun.
Yeah, and they, while we were there, they were giving out these ally badges, which is why I picked up my badge. Is this ribbon says ally on it, and it's rainbow. And they also had gamer badges, G-A-Y-M-E-R badges, for everyone. So that was awesome. And the... convention was huge, and the Pride Parade was huge. It was so huge that I Googled whether or not Stonewall, because they kept calling it their Stonewall Pride Parade. I actually Googled it to make sure Stonewall did actually happen in New York, because I was very concerned that maybe it happened in Columbus, because they kept calling it that. But no, it does actually happen in New York, but it was their Stonewall Pride Parade.
Yeah, it was really cool to see. Enough of that. We're going to talk about game stuff, because that's kind of what we do.
Yeah.
So first we want to talk about some accessories that we found. Because we, I don't know if y'all know this, we're pretty well stocked on board games at this point. We're not really hurting for any. So we kind of made the decision to make sure we walked out with more gaming accessories than games. I think we still failed.
No, we did come back with way more accessories than we did games.
Did we? Okay.
We did.
Okay.
We definitely did.
All right. So we're going to talk about some of those. So first on the list is our Gloomhaven Organizer from the Broken Token. Now, Broken Token is a company been around for a while, but this is our first purchase from them. And they make all kinds of different accessories you can use for gaming. You can buy, like, extra pieces for some games. And then, like, this one in particular is a pretty in-depth organizer for a massive game known as Gloomhaven, if you've heard of it. It's, like, 100 bajillion pounds in the box.
It's by Cephalofore Games.
Yeah, Cephalofore Games put that one out.
Isaac Childers is the creator and designer of that game. It came out, I think, in 2016. It has won so many Game of the Year awards. It's insane. But it is huge. Just massive. So the Broken Token made this, and I have not put it together yet, because it's basically a puzzle in and of itself. But it comes in this box, and as you can see, it's like the size of a pizza box, basically. And it's all wood components, I think kind of like a balsa wood type of thing, and it creates this organizer. You can put all of the pieces in. We bought the one that's big enough for the Forgotten Circles expansion. We don't own that expansion just yet, but I figured I probably would in the future. So that is going to be huge and will be a huge project taking over my time. The other big organizer that I would love to get from the Broken Token is the Dinosaur Island organizer. Not only do they have an organizer for Dinosaur Island, which seriously needs it because that box is literally like, here's a box, and there is very minimal organizing abilities with that box, but they've created a new crate for it, which is fantastic because once you have punched out all of the pieces to Dinosaur Island, it no longer fits in the box. And so it has a full wood crate that you can get, and then you can put the organizer within it. And I think that is necessary. In fact, I really wish it came standard with the game, because the fact that they made a box that was too small for the game that is inside of it is rather infuriating to me.
You're very emotional about this.
I have feelings.
Clearly.
Yes.
But yeah, so it was a pretty good purchase for us, and a fun little arts and crafts project for Jackie.
And
we had to buy the wood glue to go with it. And I have a dog.
She's the cutest.
Yeah, she is cute. Okay, go chase the cat. Alright. Next on the list is... we're going to talk about BoardGameTables.com.
Yes. So we didn't... Not everything that we're talking about today were things that we purchased.
Well, this is the... bag.
Oh, yes, the bag. I'll be right back.
Jackie's got to go get it. So, the company specializes in... And you got a dog sneeze there, so congrats. This company specializes in customized gaming tables, but they do have a standardized order that you can buy, but called the Jasper. And it's one of the more affordable options that we've seen for gaming tables. But it does have limited ordering options. But they had a killer deal on these bags at the convention. So yeah, just hold that right in front of you there. There we go. So this thing holds 1.5 million games. Actually like six maybe. Like normal sized games.
Yeah, you could probably get 5 to 6 normal sized games in here.
Yeah, but you can just and then you can put like your short wife in here and carry her around in a backpack.
I definitely probably made some enemies with this backpack. Oh my god.
Watching her walk around with this backpack that's like twice the size of her and just like turning around in a crowded alleyway in these conventions was absolutely hilarious and worth every cent.
Great.
Yeah. So yeah, that was what we got from Board Game Tables. I talked a little bit about the Jasper already.
Yes.
But yeah, they had some pretty solid, good-looking tables. Yeah.
And they're customized options if you are looking for something, like if you're more interested in having the perfect table over price-wise, their customized tables are amazing. And their website is awesome. If you go to it, you have these drop-down options. Pick your size, pick your shape. They do hexagonal tables. They do, of course, rectangular tables. They even do some funky shapes in there, and they even have some coffee table type things as well. So definitely worth checking out if you're in the market for a gaming table.
For sure. What else? Black Oak Workshop. Sweet Dice we got from them.
Yes, that's these.
Yes.
Which are so going to be
Yeah, it's not going to show up well on screen, but... I'm going to do my best. So they had a deal and a coupon that if you bought a certain amount of money, I think it was $10, you got a free set of polyhedral dice, and I got these sweet purple ones. I might give them away. I haven't decided yet.
Why?
To get people to love me.
But they're dice.
I know. But we'll see. I haven't decided yet. But I got these three kick-ass. There's green and black one, a white and blue one, and a kind of purple pinkish one. And I mean, I dungeon master a lot, so I need a lot of d20s.
And so far, that purple one hasn't rolled under a 14. Just testing it out. Yeah. So something to definitely consider.
And from now on, it's cursed. So thanks. Thanks for cursing that.
Oh, good. Does that mean I get the purple one?
Maybe. all right. Elderwood Academy.
Yes, we don't have anything.
Yeah, we didn't purchase anything from them, but they had some really cool custom leather dice trays, leather and wood dice towers. And
oh, yeah. My favorite thing is they have these books, or they look like books, and they are dice trays and dice holders, and usually you can put, like, your stats on one side of them. They are absolutely gorgeous. They are a bit on the pricier side, but that's expected considering it's real wood and real leather components. And they do also have some customization options if you want to contact them directly. So they are really cool. Will definitely enhance your gaming experience at the table because these things are just gorgeous. And their dice trays, they have scroll dice trays, which come apart and then roll up so you can keep it in a thing about this big. And just haul it around, which is really nice.
Yeah. I'm going to pull this over here, because I've got notes that I need to look at.
Gotcha.
And I'm having trouble seeing, because I'm an old fart now, and even though my eyesight is perfect. Alright. Black Overwatch Elder Academy. Level up dice.
Yes.
So, we didn't get any purchased, but this booth they had at Origins looked like a frickin' jewelry store. Mm-hmm. Like, they had these intense, like, glass cases full of metal and stone dice and, like, lights shining just like a jewelry case. Like, I can only imagine how long it took them to set up that booth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they traveled to a lot of different conventions. And there's, like, 7 or 8 people working behind that counter. Like, it was just a very impressive setup that they had.
It was fancy AF.
Is that how you would describe it?
It was fancy AF.
All right.
Even their like dice trays that you could like practice throwing the dice in were like silk lined. It was like just feel like yes, I am tossing these dice into this beautiful dice tray.
Yeah, it was intense. So we currently have 4 viewers.
What is a viewer?
I don't know. This is a new experience for us. We didn't even know anyone listened to the podcast. We just we just assumed we were talking it ourselves. So thank you for joining us today while we recap our Origins trip. Continuing on to C4 Labs.
You skipped Die Hard Dice.
Oh, did I? I did. Die Hard Dice, yes. Dice Tray. We did buy something from them. They had a really sweet deal on a dice tray. So this is... Look how pink this is. Look at it. It's so pretty. Get the dice out.
Oh, okay.
I want to roll dice in it.
Okay.
I'm going to roll some dice
in it. Before we do that, I wanted to show this one in particular is a special they made. And when applied to heat, it changes color. And so, like, if I...
Keep rubbing it.
Okay.
Yeah, rub it.
There you go. Yeah,
rub.
So, like, it turns from purple to pink when heat is applied to it. And that is pretty awesome. And as you can see, there's these snaps on the side, so you can unsnap it, and then it lays flat, so you can put it with your DM stuff much easier.
Put it in a backpack or something.
Exactly.
All right, so we're going to see if this purple die is still cursed, since Jackie cursed it.
It shouldn't be cursed.
Since she cursed it. All right, so you have your little dice tray, and then we're going to go, boop. Natural.
It rolled a 1!
Natural 1. So thank you for cursing this purple die. It is now yours.
Yay! Because it's purple and pink and I love it.
And it will always roll a 1.
It won't.
Okay.
Well, that's what most of my die do.
Exactly. So it's perfect for you.
Thanks.
All right. We then had C4 Labs, which also, they do all kinds of cool stuff. So they have gaming accessories, computer accessories, and then they can custom design a bunch of stuff and like, did like custom wood burning, so you can get like logos and super cool designs into similar dice trays as that, or like I think most of them have like wood bases and then sort of like fiber or plastic outsides to rails to keep the dice in. Kitty cat, don't eat that box. Don't eat it. Good boy. All right. But yeah, they had all kinds of cool stuff.
They did, and they were a very functional company. Like, whereas Elderwood Academy, their stuff was gorgeous and just beautiful. C4 Labs, their stuff was very functional. Like, a lot of their dice trays had little spots around the outside edge where you could set your dice. Some of them had setups where you could have your whole set of dice in a side of it, and then you could just pick stuff up and dump it into the main tray. So that was really cool, too, to see something that really thought about how the players would want to use this item. You could tell they put a lot of thought into that.
Yes. Next up, we had gamer mats, which made some super fancy neoprene game mats, all shapes and sizes, and they can do custom art as long as it's not copyrighted.
Yes.
And we bought two of them. We went with a theme, so we have, I don't know which one you're showing right now.
Right now, this is the fiery angel.
That's the fire angel who I've had dreams about, and because I wanted to burn me alive. And then this one, which is the fire Pegasus thingy.
Kind of looks like a horseman of the apocalypse.
Yeah, like it's super badass. So like, it's super duper cool, and we're probably going to use these on stream sometime.
We are, and they're really long too, which is really nice. These were the extra sized mats. Mm-hmm. But Gamer Mats produces mats of all sizes. Like, you can get some that'll fit your table. You can also order a custom size. So if you have a weirdly shaped table, you could order a mat that would fit those.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really cool. I also love that these edges are stitched. And I just think that looks so cool. I'm sure it helps the life of the mat as well, but it definitely looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that was gamer mats. All kinds of cool stuff there. And then finally, game toppers.
Yes. This is one we also haven't purchased quite yet, but that's because they have a Kickstarter coming on June 25th. For those of you who haven't heard of game toppers just yet, they are a company that makes literally toppers. They look like a game table topper, but it sits on top of the table rather than being its own table. These things are fantastic because you can take them apart and store them very easily, which is kind of how they took off in popularity. They are super sturdy. They had a huge display, and you could kind of mess with them, and you can like push on the side, and that's not gonna pop up by anything easy. So if you've got like young kids or something, you don't have to worry about them trying to climb on the table and the thing flipping over.
Carlos 2957 in chat asked if size matters, to which I responded on your Twitch account that size always matters.
Thanks, honey.
Yeah. So. It does. Anyway, when it comes to your board game tables, it does.
That is true. You gotta have the right size. You gotta have good play space. And anyway, with this new Kickstarter, they are offering some inlay options. So it'll still be the plastic game tables, but they'll have some wood inlays that look really cool. They even have some that are gonna have etchings. And the one that they had on display had, like, very Viking-esque looking
edges.
Yeah,
it had, like, a longboat on it, and it was super cool.
Oh, it's so cool. And then they also are offering custom game mats, and I think you can order the game mats separate from the gaming table if you don't want the topper, or you can order it with the topper. I don't see why you wouldn't order a topper, though. They look so cool.
Yeah, they look really nice, and it kind of helps you out, too, so you don't have to spend an exorbitant amount on a table that, you know, if you're willing to spend even more, you can convert into a dining room table. Like, you can just spend an amount to cover your table.
Yeah. And like I said, you can put it away and store it very easily. You don't have to have a designated gaming space, which is nice if you don't have a lot of space to set up, like, a random studio in your house.
Yeah. We do. Yeah, not that we're bragging. Okay, so let's see. So yeah, like Jackie said, there's a Kickstarter starting for them on the 25th. We will probably be backing it. We liked what we saw, and although I may have a silver tongue, I was not able to convince them to part with one of their display tables. I thought maybe if I, like, play it right and just say I'll pay them cash, they'd do it, but they are too smart of business people, and I couldn't get around that. So we will definitely be backing it. Looking forward to getting one of those soon.
Yeah.
So that does it for accessories.
All right.
Now we're going to talk about games.
Yeah.
So games from Origins that we were impressed by. Firstly, the first one comes up is Odum Publishing.
Yeah, that's the one that had the super pretty banners.
Yeah.
Like, we were actually on our way to an event, and we walked by, and there were these banners with this gorgeous art. To me, it was kind of like gothic reminiscent art, but it wasn't gothic themed, if that makes sense. Like, it had the muted colors, but it was, it's kind of a dreamscape type of theme. And so we went over and talked to them just because the banners were so pretty.
Yeah, I remember just kind of like stopping and being like, what? And like looking at those banners. And to find out, like, it was, they have an RPG that's set in the universe. They have this board game that, I mean, yeah. She explained how the game worked, but I wasn't paying attention, so.
Yeah, the RPG is called Of Dreams and Magic. And so it's really cool. The idea is that you're normal people, and so you have a set of stats based on you just being a normal person. And then when people sleep, they have a kind of alternate personality that they go into, and that has different stats. So you have your, like, everyday run-of-the-mill person stats, and then you go to your character goes to sleep, and then you have your new stats that are, you know, more fantastical, kind of superhero-esque, really.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
That was neat.
And but again, like, the art was, it was literally stop you in your tracks, kind of look at it, and your jaw drops a little bit. Like, it was that yeah. good and that impressive. So I'm looking forward to see what comes out of that. You know, if
they've already expanded into doing some tabletop games. So they have, I think, oh yes, their tabletop game is called The Shared Dream, and that's the one that's already out, and it has some expansions. And it looks really cool, based on the same concept that you have certain stats when you're awake, and then certain stats when your character is asleep. And then the newest one that I believe is coming out, and is the one that I'm really excited for, is Age of Kingdoms, which kind of meshes area control, worker placement, and miniature battlefield. Once again, the fantastic art is there. I don't think it's out yet. I think they were telling me it's supposed to be coming to Kickstarter pretty soon. But I didn't get an exact date on that one.
Well, okay. So,
and that was from Odum Publishing.
Yeah, they were pretty neat. So, do recommend checking them out, following them on the interwebs, and seeing what they come out with. And I kind of want to see if that RPG picks up some traction, because
yeah.
it's definitely an interesting concept.
Yeah.
All right, next was Magical Kitties. From Atlas Games, releasing a new role-playing game, the goal of being fun for the entire family. Theme of the game is that players are taking on the role of adorable kittens who are saving their humans, maybe even their town, from supernatural troubles. Game is geared toward very young players, but should be fun for adults as well. And Atlas is hoping to launch their crowdfunding in July sometime. So keep an eye on the website and sign up for a newsletter, and you'll know for sure when it goes live. Is that an RPG you're going to play?
Potentially. I mean, the goal of it really is to get young people, to get, like, really young kids, maybe even young enough that they aren't even really reading yet, into RPGs. So it's going to be a very simplified system. I think it's just, like, a D20 roll and then a regular roll. I didn't get to see all of it. But I think it's going to be very basic. Should be great for that. It also looked like a lot of fun because you play as magical kitties and you're saving your humans. That's pretty adorable.
And I'll admit that it's adorable. I don't know that I will find myself running that game anytime soon.
That's okay. I can go to Pawn and Pint or something and find some people to play with me.
But yeah, so that's from Atlas Games, so make sure to check that out. We have a link that it's atlas-games.com/magicalkitties.
And one thing I was going to mention about Atlas, that this has nothing to do with RPGs, but we did pick up this game design in a box game. It's not really a game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is actually just a box full of extra pieces, like tokens and meeples and dice and little things like that. So if you are an aspiring game designer, you can pick this up from Atlas Games. They also, we kind of picked it up partially just so that we would have all these extra pieces, because inevitably pieces go missing, or the cat eats something, or the dog eats something.
Yeah, you.
So, you know, this is just kind of nice to have, just, and it, for what is in it, it's very affordable. It's like $30 for a whole bunch of spare parts, essentially. So that is definitely an option. Of course, companies like the Broken Token also have replacement parts that are really, really fancy. So those are two options for you if you are missing pieces to your games for whatever reason.
Yeah, but I like the concept of just, you know, the game design workshop in a box for, yeah, you know, every aspiring game designer. Just kind of save, puts all that things in one little thing you can buy, and mm-hmm, you can try different things. And it's not like, you know, most people aren't like me and I need the exact thing to make it work, and I won't do it unless it's exactly how I want to do it. So, you know, you can just use these pieces and test your game theory before, you know, working on trying to develop it into anything.
Yep. And there is a little booklet in here that talks about some things to think about when you're designing a game and gives you some kind of, like, quick tips and tricks. That is also available on Kindle or PDF version if you go to Atlas Games. So just some options there for you aspiring designers.
Nerds. I'm just kidding. Keep at it. Speaking of aspiring designers, and probably not aspiring at this point, moves on to our next thing that we saw that we really liked was Steam Kitty Games.
Yes.
And we checked out, this was the Unpub Room at Origins, so a bunch of unpublished games, a lot of designers coming together, testing out each other's games, the public coming in, testing them out, giving them feedback on what they thought worked and didn't work. And it was actually really cool. So Steam Kitty Games, he's got some promising games in the works, and it was run by a guy by the name of Matt Williams, and he's got a few games that he's been working on. And
he's got quite a few in his queue. It's kind of impressive.
And they're all at, like, different stages of completion, but we played
Aurelia
is how I think it's pronounced. But it's a Cthulhu-based game. It showed a crowdfunding soon, but it was a lot of fun. Quick game, sort of like an Uno experience. So the idea is that you're an elder god trying to collect cultists, which is a nice change because most of the games you play that have this elder god Cthulhu theme are more like, you are the cultist trying to bring your elder god into the world. No, we're past that. You are now the elder god. So the cards in your hand are the cultists. And if you end with the most cards, you're the winner. Or there's little meeples, too, that represent the cultists. And so each round, at the end of the round, if you have the most cards, you collect the corresponding number of cultists. And whoever has the most at the end wins. And so that one was a lot of fun. It's quick. Took a little bit for my tiny brain to kind of grasp the complexities of it. And I know you said that you were having issues not playing your cards.
Yeah, because it's the exact opposite of Uno. And most games you play, you want to get rid of your cards. You don't want to keep them in hand. The whole collecting cards and trying to have the biggest hand was very much against everything in my mind, and I had a lot of issues with that, but I think it was really fun, and once you kind of get used to it, it definitely becomes a lot simpler to play. It's really not that complicated of a game, but it's just so backwards from what you normally do in a game that I think my mind just glitched.
Yeah, it was different. so let's see here. He had some other games in development that we weren't able to get a chance to play, so Madness, or Machines, Monsters, and Madness is about building really wacky monsters. And the game that Jackie saw that she was the most excited for was Otter Park.
You probably can't see this tiny little piece of paper, but I'm very excited about it. And I thought I would show this tiny piece of paper because it's not even on his website yet. Like, this is so early in development that it does not exist in any space other than if you are able to check out Steam Kitty Games in person. But it is Otter Park, and it is an asymmetrical worker placement game that he is working on. Part of what you're trying to do is build otter slides. So you're basically building, I know, you're building this, like, water park for otters. And so it's called Otter Park, and I'm so excited for this game. Like, the cuteness levels are off the charts.
I didn't even see it, and I was like, yep, that's really cute.
Yep, exactly. It's like, even the concept, and it sounds like he's got really solid game mechanics working for it. I can't wait for this. Like, I can't wait till it's on his website so that I can track it. I can't wait till it hits Kickstarter. Like, this is something I will be getting.
Yes. Okay, so that is Steam Kitty Games. You can check them out, steamkittygames.com/games/... Just kidding. It's just slash games. Okay, so then this one was kind of funny for us because this is Captains and Curses. So we went all the way to Columbus, Ohio for this convention to meet up with a local developer from Kansas City. Bossy Games, very close to launching their Kickstarter for Captains and Curses. Pirate-themed, sandbox-style game. Strategy game with some role-playing elements. So the art on this one's looking great, and the mechanics appear to be flowing well, and so we're excited to see how it continues developing, considering we first heard about this game almost a year ago.
Yeah.
When he was kind of just talking about it and like had this idea and like had it down on paper but hadn't really gotten the pieces together for it yet.
We saw it in the really early playtesting stages.
Yeah.
And I think it's made leaps and bounds since then, which it usually does in playtesting. Because I remember kind of sitting in on an explanation of the first round of this game, and there were so many rules to start off with.
Yeah.
It was like you would have a chapter book. But definitely the most recent iteration is so much more smoothed out.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic. It looks like it's kind of area control a little bit, but they said it mixes in some RPG elements. I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and play it just yet. But
that's because their demo table was full.
Yeah, it was full every time.
Every time we walked past there, their demo table was full. So I'm starting to think people might like pirates.
They might. Pirates might be a big thing.
Flag05 says that the Otter game sounds adorable.
It is adorable!
Okay, so that was Captains and Curses. You can check them out at bossygames.com. Again, Midwest developers here in the Kansas City area. We're excited to see how that grows. Okay, so the next one I'm really excited about because this is really in my wheelhouse. Is Argent Saga. So
that one's on your side, yeah, if you want to show some
I'll
stuff.
Pull it up in a second. So Argent Saga is a new trading card game produced by Alter Reality Games, which is actually a trading card game retailer. So they've specialized in selling Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, and kind of observing the habits of those players. And we're able to develop a game that I think kind of pokes at different things for each of those games. So, two-player game, people build their own decks, five different elements of colored themes for the decks, and instead of mana, like you get magic or lands, you actually use shards. So it's also a lot like Hearthstone, where every turn you generate a resource, no matter what. So you don't have to worry about not drawing your lands like you do in Magic. The game is already pretty well supported because ARG, or Alter Reality Games, is a pretty well supported and pretty well known retailer at this time. So, okay, it was Michelle that wants to play that.
I know,
game.
I saw that. I was like, hi, Michelle, thank you so much for joining the
yes,
stream today.
Yes, thank you. So yeah, it will play a lot like Magic. So they gave us these little. I kind of got a sweet deal on all this, but
I'm gonna move.
Yeah,
this so that you can.
Yeah. So this is the game mat. It's kind of hard to see, but it's got different zones laid out. So much like Yu-Gi-Oh, you have like a set amount of cards you can have out here, and you have your units, which are your creatures, your towers, and your shards. You have a champion, which sits outside of the game and has special abilities, and a spirit that also sits outside of the game and has special abilities. And these two cards dictate how you can build your deck. So it also plays a little bit like Commander in Magic, if you're familiar with that. So each of the elements has, a champion and a spirit. This is one of the demo decks they gave, These demo decks were all like based on one of the elements in the game and contain three towers, so it's a shortened game. A normal game contains five towers. You have to destroy the towers to defeat your opponent. And I mean, it's I could get into the complexities of the game. I'm not going to. But it's a lot of fun. I plan on making a video about it and kind of explaining it a little further sometime down the line. But I'm really excited to give it a look. The art's great. I love that I got this, like, alpha copy of the game.
Yeah.
So it's all of these... they purposely did it this way, but a lot of the art on the cards is, like, sketches and not complete artworks. So if this game takes off, like, I've got my hands on a very collectible item that I'm excited about, which is another one of those things they're doing to appeal to those types of players. So I'm excited to give this one a shot.
I think it's got a really good chance. Like, I was watching the Kickstarter video for it because it does have a Kickstarter going on now through July 12th. And then in late July and August, they've got a whole bunch of pre-release stuff coming out, too.
Yeah, it'll be releasing it. They're doing a huge release event at Gen Con, too. Yes. So.
Gotcha. But I was like, I think this one, a lot of trading card games have a lot of trouble getting their feet off the ground because they... are competing against Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon and Magic the Gathering. But I think this one has a really good shot, partially because it is so well-supported. The people who are doing it are people who have played all those other RPGs and... trading card games. TCGs. They've gotten rid of the parts, or they attempted to get rid of the parts of TCGs that people don't like and tried to really capture the parts that make it really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And also... it does have organized play already, and it's going to have tournaments with prize support. They've got all the elements there.
Yeah, they've got it figured out. And the other thing is, I mean, I played the game, I demoed it, and I played against another guy who had some experience playing Magic as well. And it was a very swingy game. And, like, you know, I was ahead for a good portion of it. I was playing a very aggressive deck, which I got lucky that I got matched with that because that's a play style I'm very familiar with. But it was very swingy, and I was ahead, then he was ahead, and really, it just came down to if I had one more turn, I would have won. But he just was able to, you know, do it in such a way that he beat me. So, but it's a fun game. I'm looking forward to trying it out.
Yeah. It looks real good.
All right. Next up, let's see, what else? What else did we play? What else did we see?
Next is Shadows of Esterin.
Ooh, yeah.
This one is an actual RPG and not just me saying the wrong word.
Yeah, this one was another stopper for me because, like, I went over to this booth because they had some banners for an RPG I already own. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they have anything new or, like, a new book for this or whatever. And ended up looking at this one instead. So Shadows of Esterin is a medieval gothic-themed role-playing game. And unlike most RPGs where your adventure is out to save the world, in this you're just a... talented person trying to survive in a harsh world. It's considered low fantasy because there's not, you don't have your elves and dwarves, and humans are kind of tribal in nature. And one of the really cool things is that how well it champions female characters. And even though in the lore, the women are leaders of different tribes and very skilled warriors, and it doesn't take the typical, like, oh, it's medieval fantasy, so women are treated terribly, which is great, you know, because we get media that we love, like Game of Thrones, and then we ignore how they treat women in those settings. And this is going for much the same vibe without doing that.
Mm-hmm. What we actually purchased here is the prologue, or this is basically a starter guide. I think it's like $15 if you want to get it for yourselves. You can get it directly off their website. It looks awesome. So not only is this kind of a quick start guide on how to play the game, but it does also have an adventure in it that you can run right away.
Yeah, and the low fantasy thing too, for role-playing games, also means it's a very role-play intense game. It's not as combat, you know, focus on the rules oriented. It's just sort of a guide on how to, like, role-play and exist in this world.
And they are so dedicated to the role play aspect of this game that the books are written as a story. Like, the actual how to play RPG books are actually written as though it is an adventurer in Esterin that is making notes on how the whole setting works, basically.
Yeah. So that's super cool. I'll probably do an RPG corner on this in a future or near episode of Meeple Skills.
Yeah.
So keep,
we'll run it.
Yeah, yeah, we will too. So keep an eye out for that. I'm excited to give it a shot.
I am too. This looked amazing.
Yeah, so. Very cool. So that's Shadows of Esterin. All right, next one. we want to talk about is Restoration Games.
Yes.
So, this is the company that brought us Dinosaur Tea Party and Fireball Island. They have some new releases coming your way. There's a new social deduction style game called Conspiracy. It's out now. And then a game called Unmatched, releasing at Gen Con this year, in addition to a Fireball Island expansion.
Yeah. The Conspiracy game looks really good. It is a social deduction, but it is also more board game feel than most social deduction games. So that is definitely worth a look. It is actually based on a game because, as many of you may know, Restoration Games finds games that are old and are out of print and then kind of gives them new life. And Conspiracy was the original name for the older game, too. So if you want to kind of look and try it out and then compare the two games, you can do that. They're both called Conspiracy, so that's kind of nice.
And you played Unmatched, right?
I did.
That one was weird.
It is very different. So it kind of reminds me of Clank a little bit, because you play cards, but you also move around a board, a game board. And it's really cool. So they have history, historical fantasy figures, and also just things from Kung Fu movies, people from Kung Fu movies in there.
Yeah, because you played Robin Hood versus Bigfoot?
Yep, that's the game we were in, was Robin Hood versus Bigfoot. And
digest that for a moment. Robin Hood versus Bigfoot.
Continue. So it's kind of a smash-up style game. apparently, it was actually based originally on a Star Wars game that kind of fell flat. And so they kind of revitalized it, but used all these different characters and kind of expanded it quite a bit. And it was a lot of fun. So you play the cards so that you can either move or attack your characters, other characters on this board. And each one has its own different feel. Like Robin Hood had a lot of merry men, and so you had to watch out. And they were all ranged attacks, which was rude because I was Bigfoot. I know, right? And he only does melee attacks, so I had to get close to these people in order to be able to hit them. But they all move around very quickly, and they can hit you from a distance. And Bigfoot only has one ally, and it's a bunny. It's a jackalope.
Oh. Have a jackalope. It's not a bunny, it's a jackalope.
It's a jackalope. And the jackalope had surprisingly good abilities for being a bunny with horns, but I felt like I was very unfairly matched, personally.
You probably were. That's what they get for putting a halfling in a, doing, having a halfling do Bigfoot's job.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. So you can check them out at restorationgames.com. They're a pretty big hit right now.
They are. Fireball Island was a huge success on Kickstarter, and it continues to be a huge success. We actually reviewed Dinosaur Tea Party in our last episode of Meeple Skills, and that was a really fun game. It was so cute.
All right. So Overlight. Yes. Another role-playing game.
Yes.
That was played by Jaqueline here. So this one's been out for a while. I think it was really big at Gen Con last year.
I think it was released at Gen Con last year.
Was it? Okay. And you have thoughts.
I do. I have thoughts. It's a very interesting system. So the way it works is you have your abilities and then you have skills within those abilities. So when you roll your dice, you roll three of the dice that you assigned to these different abilities. So like strength, maybe you assigned the D8 to strength, and then you have a D6 in like blades, which is what they use for, you know how to use things that are bladed weapons. And so you'd roll 3D8 and 3D6, and you put that together, and everything that is a 6 or over is a success. I know, that was a lot. It gets even weirder.
So wait, like Beyblades? Like the tops? Let it rip! You remember that?
No.
Oh, maybe that was just anime kids. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. But you have... and then you also roll a D4 with that. And your D4 can help you have an extra success or not. For example, there's also these like levels of success. If you have 2 successes, you have a mild success. If you have 4 successes, then it's a really good success. And if you have 6 successes or more, then it was a very successful thing. And the D4, if you get a 4 on the D4, it automatically counts as a success and can boost you up to that next column. However, there's also some abilities that, like, if you roll one, you can still get something. I had a little bit of issues understanding that whole part completely, but I do know for a fact that if you roll a four on the D4, it can push you up to the next level, or if you already had an even number, you can use that number as a chroma. And the chroma is your ability to use your very special ability, because in this game, you have certain, basically, talents that you can evoke when you have absorbed enough chroma, which comes from the overlight. Yeah, it's a lot. It is actually a fun game, but it is a lot of steps. I was really surprised to see the amount of rules for this game, considering that it's supposed to be very RP, it's supposed to be very roleplay heavy. And it was a lot of rules for that.
Crunchy.
Yeah, and for that reason, it's also not necessarily a adventure combat style game. Like, the combat is not the focus. It's supposed to be more of an exploration and learning type of game, which is really cool, but that doesn't translate well to a convention style setting, because you only have these people for so long. This is really meant to be played as a campaign.
Yeah, it seems, my impression of it then is just that, like you said, it's not really a great convention game,
mm-hmm.
because there is so much background, and you basically have to play this game in that world.
Yes, and it's a very fantastical setting. I feel like you almost need to study the rulebook before you can really play it well, because there's so much going on. But at the same time, they tried to get away from that by having very limited information. So, like, you have the basic setting, and you have about 20 creatures that you can use from, and then you have these characters that you can build, and that's it. Like, that's all preset for you, and then they expect you to be able to make up more. So I guess my main critique of this particular game is that it puts so much pressure on the dungeon master, or the game master, because, like, some RPGs, like Kids on Bikes, they alleviate some of that game master stuff by having it in there that you can reach out to the players to be like, okay, what do you find behind door number one, and why does it surprise you? So you can put some of that creativeness back on your players. From what I saw, this game doesn't really do that. Like, it expects the players to drive the game in the sense that the players need to make the decisions of where to go and how they're going to be exploring the overlight, and all that kind of stuff. But the game master is put in the position of having to figure out, what do they find in the forest? Where is it? And am I going to make something up, or am I going to use one of the 20 characters that are available? You need to be a very experienced game master to run this game.
Unfortunate. Well, it's a cool concept, but again, it's a lot to take in your 3-hour session at a convention.
Exactly.
So study up if you want to play Overlight at Gen Con this year.
I think it's still a good game, and it has a lot of potential. But yeah, it's really meant to be a campaign, and you don't want to be a new GM for this.
Sure. All right, so last set of games we're going to talk about, one of our favorites, big sponsor of Origins this year, White Wizard Games, and we finally bought Sorcerer.
Yes, I'm getting it.
We have talked about this game off and on since Gen Con, and now we just scared the dog. It is...
I may have set the game on her head. She may not have been a fan.
Yes, she was not. Yes.
This came out as a Kickstarter right before Gen Con. I missed it. Didn't even know it was happening, which makes me so upset because White Wizard Games is one of my favorite companies. Like, this is a fantastic company. They haven't made a single game yet that I haven't liked. And this is their biggest game. I would say this is probably their biggest endeavor because this is like a full-size board game, and it's got pieces.
So if you're not familiar, White Wizard Games is... three real main games that they're known for. I think those are the only other three.
Yeah. Okay, and I've got those here too.
Right. So we have Epic, Hero Realms, and Star Realms, which are all card games of different varieties. So, like, Epic is has a lot of different formats you can play, but it's mostly a constructed style card game or a draft style card game. while Hero Realms and Star Realms are deck builders. You know, those obviously have different styles of play. Sorcerer is, again, a sort of constructed style play with a little bit of drafting elements to it.
Yeah, there's a... You play as a character, you have a domain, and then you have, like, a background, essentially. And you... Each game, you get to pick those, and you can mix and match as you want. So you could be the vampire, but you could be a demonology vampire, and then you would select the setting that that creature is in.
Yeah, their domain.
Their domain. And the goal of the game is actually to control different parts of London. So you're actually, all your battles are taking place on these location tiles. And you have to basically destroy the city to take over it. In a two-person game, the first person to take out two of the areas is the winner. Because there's three different tiles, so if you get two of those, you win.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much fun. The tokens do have little pentagrams on them, so if that's something that bothers you, I just thought I'd warn you. But the omen tokens are used to re-roll the dice.
Also, if it bothers you, what's wrong with you? It's a freaking little piece of cardboard. You'll be fine.
But yes, this is so good. So the attack on the cards actually relates to how many dice you get to roll. They're specialized dice. You can have a crit, a one hit, or a two hit. And then there's blank sides as well. And so that's how much damage you do to the other person or to the...
to the city.
The city.
Yeah, to that part of the city. Because you're not... You don't have a life total or anything like that. You're just trying to win those locations of the city. So, like, you can't be knocked out of the game. It's just the first person to win.
Yeah. I think part of the theme on that is that you're so powerful as a sorcerer or whatever character you're playing, you can't actually be killed. It's just that somebody can be more powerful than you and they can take over the city faster.
Yeah. My dog just snuggled into my lap and I'm so happy. And this... Peak episode of Meeple Skills, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, White Wizard Games, Sorcerer, check it out. It's a lot of fun.
So good.
We still have not finished a game.
We found out that when you go from two players to three players, it greatly increases the length of game.
Yeah, and we started about 9:30 when we got back from Origins, so after a 10-hour drive. And someone was sleepy, it was me, since I drove the whole way. And so we just ended the game early, and after two attempts to try and play it at Origins, that were abruptly ended by A, having to go to other games, and B, setting up in a place where a tournament was about to happen. We've not had luck finishing a game of Sorcerer yet, but I have had fun playing it.
Yep. So that is White Wizard Games. I highly recommend all their games. Sorcerer is definitely the more in-depth game. These are all deck builders. Except for Epic. Epic can be played in a bunch of different ways. All card games, all excellent. Star Realms and Hero Realms are very similar in the way they play. They are both kind of adventure-esque deck builders. But they're also very basic deck builders, which is part of why I love them. They are very easy to pick up and learn. They all have expansions. Star Realms has Frontiers, which is their story mode. And then Hero Realms has Ruins of Thandar, and that's their story mode. So just so many ways to play these games. Highly recommend. Follow White Wizard Games. I'm somewhat obsessed with them.
A little bit. You can't tell. White Wizard Games, if you'd like to sponsor the Meeple Skills podcast, hit me up. Slide into them DMs, you know what I mean? Okay, so that does it for our Origins 2019 coverage. But we do... have some
announcements
for Meeple Skills and Project Nerd in general. So, first of all, we will be at Omaha Comic Con, or Ocon Expo as it's called, next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing some live recordings. Project Nerd is hosting a bunch of panels. I'll be doing a talk about Twitch streaming. And we'll be doing another live at the con episode of Meeple Skills. Do we have a theme for that?
Is
that
we do. It's travel games.
We're going to do our travel. I thought we were doing the digital games.
No.
Okay.
Now we're going to do this one on games that are great for traveling, whether it's games that are good to play, like, in transit to places, or games that are just great to have with you because they're small and easy to pack.
Yeah. And then our other special announcement, which is really gearing up for next month, is our friend Jackie here. Is going to have a new show on the Project Nerd Twitch channel. That's right here, where you already are, starting July 13th, same time, 10:30 a.m.
Yep, on Saturdays.
Saturdays. Are we doing it weekly?
I'm going to try.
All right, we're going to try and do weekly.
It'll be on this couch, in this exact setting.
Yes, and we will be playing multiplayer games on this couch, starting with our classic Super Nintendo. And we will be playing some games and strangling each other over games of Mario Kart.
Yep. Our first game is going to be Mario Kart. Nerd Meat is going to be my guest, that one. We're going to have rotating guests. The show is called Basement Dwellers. And for the first one, I'm going to kick Ethan's butt at Mario Kart.
And he's literally going to
cry
happened.
Like a little girl. It's going to be
literally
great.
Never happened.
It's happened several
times. So when Jackie and I first met about 10 years ago, she told me that nobody could ever beat her at Mario Kart out of all of her friends. And I said, that's cute. And now I will admit that I think that we are evenly matched at Mario Kart. I think we're about 50-50. 55-45. But I remember the look on her face when I beat her at Mario Kart. The first game we played, I won that one. And she was very upset with me that somebody finally had dethroned her as queen of Mario Kart.
To be fair, I feel like we're going to be equally disadvantaged at this one because it's the Super Nintendo Mario Kart.
Yeah, we actually both kind of suck at this one.
Yeah. Yeah, we're both used to playing either the Super or the Nintendo 64 or the GameCube versions.
Yeah.
And yeah, this one's hard because it's like even the controller feels like small and
yeah.
awkward.
I think you kicked my ass at the Switch one.
I think I did, because yeah. I figured out how to turn.
Yeah, that was hard. So that does it for this episode, our very first live-streamed episode of Meeple Skills. If you liked it, please let us know, and we will try and do more of these in the future. Check out, let's see, Meeple Skills episode 6.
Should be coming early July.
Yeah, that'll be...
We're a little behind, sorry guys.
Yeah, we're a little behind. So this is our June episode. This is 5.5, because it's not a real episode.
Yeah.
We've had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, check out the next episode of Meeple Skills. We have special guests that you will find out more about if you listen to the episode.
Oh, yeah, it's so cool. We partnered up. I'm just going to talk about it.
No!
Yes, we partnered up with the hosts of Chris's on Infinite Earth. They're a wonderful podcast about superhero crossovers hosted by... Yeah, superhero comic book crossovers hosted by our friends Chris and Christy, who are the Chris's. So check that out. Again, coming out early July. Make sure to stop by Project Nerd on Patreon and donate there if you like what you get from Project Nerd on our website and now on our Twitch channel. And if you like the convention coverage that we will be doing, let us know. Thank you all. Anything else?
Nope. You can follow me on Lucky Halfling at Twitter, The Lucky Halfling on Twitch, and we also have our Meeple Skills Pod at the Twitch. And
on Twitter.
On the Twitter. Meeple Skills Pod on the Twitter.
You need to practice your social media.
I do. I need to practice the social media so bad.
All right. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/nerdmeat_. Twitter at NerdMeat, Instagram at NerdMeat, Facebook, NerdMeat Gaming, or hell, you probably know me in real life, just add me as a friend. I think that's all my... NerdMeat on Snapchat, I don't really use it, but if you're one of those people, it's fine. Yeah, that's it. Okay, thank you all for stopping by. We are... I'm just going to try and do some different things here.